Go ahead and turn your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. The book of Ephesians chapter number 2. Before I begin to do anything, let's ask God to work and bless him tonight. Heavenly Father, it is a joy to be here tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would gather our thoughts. Lord, our attention would go towards you, to the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd use me to minister to you people. Lord, I pray tonight that you would bestow your wisdom and your knowledge upon me tonight. Lord, I know that I'm just a very simple man. Lord, I'm not even worthy to be up here, but Lord, you're using me tonight, and I'm thankful for that. Lord, I ask that you to continue to bless and heal our pastor. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that you've done in his life. Thank you for seeing fit to heal him. Lord, we have seen and got acquainted with folks that are up there. We've already experienced some friends losing some loved ones, and earlier on, we did the same thing. We just learned recently, Lord, of a woman that's up there going through a worse situation. My father, Lord, and she lost her leg and now is losing her foot. And Lord, now we hear of another man that we've known about that his life is really, Lord, coming to an end. And so, Lord, tonight, I just thank you for your miraculous hand that you so see fit to do on our pastor. Lord, we know that at any given moment, you can take anybody out of this world. But Lord, tonight, thank you for preserving his life. Thank you for healing in his life. And Lord, we ask that his return would be soon. Lord, we ask that you just raise and lift him up tonight. In your name, amen. Verse number 1 of chapter number 2, it says, and I'll read this whole chapter here. It says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which Christ hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, that by which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the Christ, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for our inhabitation of God through the Spirit. And now we see here the method of salvation that has come our way. The title of this message tonight is Being Made Alive. We get this from the verse that we first read here in verse number 1. It says, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. And so therefore, quickened means to be made alive, to be aware of the situation that's about you. So now Paul goes through this chapter number 2 here, and it begins to explain some things that now have been bestowed upon the Gentiles. And I'm thankful for God's grace in this, because if you look in the times past, who were the chosen people of God? The only people that were chosen, the only people that were elected, were the Israelites. And we see through Scripture that the Israelites, the Jewish nation, had rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected, I would say, everything about him. And so, therefore, because of their rejection, now we have the grace and the mercy of God bestowed upon us. And say amen to that, because that's where we need to be, amen? And so now the Gentiles are given salvation. I'm thankful tonight, again, that God has saved me. I didn't save myself. I couldn't save myself. But God has saved me from hell, and he saved me to heaven. But we are here in this point in Scripture because of the fact that the Israelites had rejected God. No different than what we've been learning about in our Sunday school class with Saul as he went through life and as he rejected God. But now because of their rejection, we get the experience that great and really that personal need of salvation that is in need of our life. Now again, the interesting thing about this is the Israelites were God's chosen people. But they were the ones, as I just said, they were the ones who had walked away. They're the ones who gave up on God. They're the ones that said, you know what, I think I might have a better handle on this thing, and so I'm going to try some other areas of my life. And so what did they do? They forsook the Lord. We read that many times in the Old Testament. The Israelites, they forsook the Lord. They left the Lord. And what do? They went out and they served other gods. They put themselves in a dangerous situation because no longer are they serving the God whom they should serve, the one that protects them, the one that will guide them, the one that will give them wisdom. But they went out and they would serve false gods. And they were in very grave situations here because of this. But then again, because of this, God's mercy and God's grace, he extends his hand of salvation to the Gentiles. You know, I was a title once. I used to have a title called the Gentile. Amen? But I'm no longer calling myself a Gentile. I call myself a child of God. Because God saved my soul from hell, and he saved my soul to heaven. And now I'm a son of God. I'm thankful for that tonight. But God extends his hand. He extends his mercy with grace and gives us that plan of salvation that we don't deserve. And now here in verse number 1, it says, he hath quickened us, being made alive. Or we can say, being aware that we are in need of salvation. You realize today there are folks that are walking around lost. They have no idea that they need salvation. They have no idea that their sins are taking them to hell. They're living in a life full of hopelessness. What a sad place to be. But you know what? They can have hope. They can have hope in Jesus Christ if they would reject their ways that are taking them to hell. And so, as of right now, not everybody has been made alive. But here it says, he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses in sin. And so it goes on, we are made aware of what we need. Then it goes on in verse number 2, it says, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were violators of the law. We are sinners. And according to verse 1, we weren't even aware of these things because we are dead in trespasses and sin. The law wasn't given to the Gentiles, folks. It was given to the Jews. Again, that is a closed dispensation in the Word of God. That's the Old Testament. And so we need to be clear on those things. And so the law wasn't given to us. And now because of this, God has made us alive. He has made us aware that we need salvation in our life. Now, because of salvation, because God grants us salvation, because we receive salvation, now I must say this, not everybody receives it because, again, God's created us with our own free will. So you can either say yes or you can say no. But after we receive our salvation, there is a walk that we must walk according to Scripture. And verse number 2, it says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Our walk wasn't according to God. Our walk was according to how we wanted to walk. Our walk was according to how everybody else wanted us to walk in this world. It wasn't according to God's way of living. It wasn't that righteous lifestyle that we should be seeking. It wasn't a holy lifestyle that we should have a desire within our soul to be living every single day. And so our walk wasn't according to God. However, our walk was according to who? It says here in verse number 2, it says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that talking about, folks? That's talking about Satan there. We weren't walking according to God. We were walking according to Satan. We're doing everything and anything underneath the sun that was bringing pleasure to Satan instead of bringing pleasure to God. And so our lifestyle, because of this, was a lifestyle of wickedness, a lifestyle of disobedience. And that's where we are at in our life before God, but thankful tonight we have a God who forgives us of our sins. Amen. And then we go on in verse number three, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The conversations, think about how you used to talk before you had Christ in your life. Pretty embarrassing when you begin to think about the things that would spew out of your mouth, wouldn't it? Think about all those horrible and all those wicked things that would just begin to come out of your mouth, and you would have no filter that should have been on your mouth. Think about those conversations, how they were ungodly, how they were unrighteous, and how they weren't glorifying to God. Why? Because these were conversations that spewed out of our mouth, and it was for one reason, and it was to fulfill our lustly desires. That's what it was about. We didn't care about anything else. Okay, we're kind of in the same boat that Saul's in. We're about ourselves before salvation. We cared about how we wanted to live. We cared about what we can get out of this world. We can care less about anybody else. And so because of that, we kind of put ourselves in a dangerous situation. And so the conversations would spew forth ungodliness, unrighteousness. And why? Because we wanted to fulfill our lustly desires. God was not on the forefront of our conversations. Again, go back in your own mind. I don't know your past, and you don't know my past. But you know how you used to talk. You know of the conversations that used to come out of your mouth before salvation. And thank God, because of salvation, He changes our conversation. Amen. He changes our way of talking. He changes our way of thinking. And He changes really everything about us. But all this took place because God was not on the forefront of our conversation. The most ungodly things we would discuss and talk about, meaning there is no filter on our mouths. I got to stop and say this. There are believers that need to put some filters on their mouths, because they say some of the most ungodliest things as well. And I can't decipher them from the unsaved. And I believe believers need to put some filters on their mouth and begin to have a good godly conversation spew out of your mouth. Again, why? Because we're to be set apart. We're different. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We don't belong here. And so our conversation ought to be different from the world. Our conversation shouldn't be about worldly things, but that's where we're at. Our conversation should be about God, spiritual things, and things of that nature. And so, therefore, there are some believers that need to put a filter on their mouths. And you know what? I believe that I would fall in that category as well. I really do. But even though, going on in verse number 3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in the time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even the mind was corrupt. Our way of thinking was corrupt. You mean you're telling me before salvation there wasn't really anything good about us? Well, the Bible's revealing it. I'm just revealing what the Bible says. So don't be mad at me. Take it up with God. Amen? I'm just a messenger. And so we see here that our mind was corrupt. And again, we're reminded at the end of the verse, we're even, as children of wrath, we're very vengeful people. What do you mean by vengeful people? Well, when somebody does us wrong, what do we want to do? We want to get back at them. How many times where somebody's done you wrong, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth, just wait until I get a hold of them, I'm going to kill them. That's come out of my mouth several times. And that's not a way a believer, a child of God, should be acting or even thinking. And so we need to be careful on the things that we allow to come into our mouths, to come into our minds, so we won't be like these this way anymore. But we go on in verse number 4 and verse number 5. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. There again, that word being made alive, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. And so because of Christ's great love for us, He has a desire to be with us. And so therefore, He quickens us to salvation. Does that mean everybody's going to get saved? No, that doesn't mean that. But now we are aware of what we need in our life. And He has a desire to be around His people. Not once did I ever pursue God, but God pursued me. I never walked out of my house when I was growing up, or even now, being married for all these years I've been married. Not once did I walk out of my house. I'm going to pursue God today. Or I'm going to seek God today. I'm going to go find God. No, it was God who was pursuing me. It was God who was seeking me. It was God who was always knocking on my heart and convicting me of my sins where my sins were taking me. And I'm thankful tonight that God pursued me. I'm thankful tonight that God was consistent on his part in not giving up on us. All because, in verse number 6-7, it says, "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." All of this because he wants to show us the riches of his love. Do you realize tonight God has a tremendous amount of love for his people? It's unconditional. It doesn't end, if that's the correct term I can use tonight, and I did anyway, if it wasn't. It doesn't end. And he wants to express his richness towards us with his love. Why? So that we can sit in heavenly places with him. Do you realize tonight, when we pass from this earth, where are we going to be? We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Why is this? Because of his love that he has for us. And so tonight, we shouldn't be threatened or we shouldn't be scared with death. We should be excited. Because really what's taking place is the doors being closed in this life, and our life, when death comes knocking on our door, our life truly begins. And we're going to experience that great love that Jesus has for us, and we're going to be able to sit in those heavenly places with him. Why is that? Because of his great love, his rich love that he has for us. This is the greatest act of kindness that I can ever think an individual can ever do. But you know what? I couldn't do it for you. You couldn't do it for me. But it took Christ to do it for every single one of us. And this is a great act of kindness that he has expressed to us. And it was all done because he loves us. You know, we sit there and we say we love Christ, but why do we love Christ? Because he first loved us. See, we have no idea what love is until we recognize who God is. God loves us. God, having that perfect foreknowledge that he has, before we even created, he knew exactly what we're going to do. He knew exactly what we're going to say. He knew exactly how we're going to mock him. He knew exactly how we're going to drag his name through the mud. But yet, God loves us. Tell you what, that's amazing when you're going to think about that. And because he loves us tonight, folks, we love him. He is the one who has first initiated and has shown us love. Thankful for that. His great love for us is never ending. It's unconditional. And then we go on in verse number 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Because of the faith that he bestows on us, he is the one who gives us that faith. He is the one that gives us that recognition that we need faith in him, and he bestows it upon us, but it's through his great grace that gives us salvation. See, our faith doesn't give us salvation, it's his grace that gives us that salvation. That verse is very specific when he says this. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That verse at the end of it explaining, it's nothing that you have done, it's nothing that you have really said. It's not by works or anything else. It's only because of grace. Unfortunately, we do have a society, we do have a world today that people are trying to work their way into heaven. They try to work their way into heaven by church attendance. Good for you if that's how you think you're going to get into heaven. I got some sad news for you when that day comes. Some people think tonight if they give enough money to the churches that they're going to give their way into heaven, or everything's going to be paid for. If that's you tonight, I feel sorry for you tonight, because when Christ comes back for us, or when you die, you're going to have some sad news about you. You don't get to heaven because of your works. You don't get to heaven because of your looks. You don't get to heaven because you're trying to do all these good deeds. Coming to church is a good thing, but it doesn't guarantee you a spot in heaven. Giving God back the tithes that he bestows upon us is a good thing, but that doesn't guarantee us a place in heaven. What guarantees us a place with him is our faith in him. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Meaning that is all about God. God is the one who saves you. You have nothing to do with it, but he gives you the faith, and I'm so thankful for that. He gives you the faith and he bestows that upon you. And we're so lucky that he has done this great thing for us. And now because of this, we're going to see our new position in him. Verse number 11 It goes on and says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." So now we see our new position in Christ. Salvation, I don't know if you know this, but salvation gives us a position in Christ. Now we're ambassadors for Him. We no longer have a position in this world because this world's no longer our home. We're laying up treasures where they're going to be destroyed one day. Moth and rust are going to come upon Him. And now we have a new position with Him. It goes on in verse number 2. It says, "That our time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Now, because we have Christ, now because of the rejection of the Israelites, now we have salvation, we've accepted that salvation, and now we have a new position with Him. Well, what is that position? We're no longer strangers. Now we have God in our life. Now we develop and try to work on a relationship with Him. And that is our new position in Him. We're no longer aliens. Aren't you glad of that? I just had a picture in my mind, some little green little Martian with two little antennas above their heads. Say, "Take me to your leader." That's what came to my mind. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer aliens. Folks, it's okay to laugh, okay? It's okay to laugh. Now we have, what do we have? That position in Christ, that what we have is now is that same promise that God gave to the Jews. And I'm thankful for that. Verse number 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Because of the blood of Christ, we have been drawn nigh to God." Again, folks, we have nothing to do with this. God does it all. The Jews and the Gentiles have the same position in Him. We have all things in common now. Verse number 14 says, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. There isn't a wall that is no longer dividing us anymore. It has been torn down. That is gone." And now it says at the top of verse number 14, "For He is our peace." He has become our peacemaker, and we both have access to Him. In verse number 18 says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Jews and Gentiles are both one and must work together and show others of His great love. It shows us here in verses 19 through 22. "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens." And now we got to learn how to coexist with each other. Now we got to learn how to get along with each other. Now we got to learn how to work with each other. Why? For the building of the church of Jesus Christ. It says, "But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." We are both one now, and now we work together. And that is the end of the story. We'll end there tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Thank You for this night that You've allowed us to come in Your house. Thank You, Lord, for Your salvation that You have bestowed upon us. Lord, we realize tonight, even with the rejection of the Israelites that they did towards You, Lord, this is all part of Your plan. This is part of Your plan, Lord, so that You can bestow Your salvation upon the Gentiles. Thank You, Lord, for that great day. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us and giving us the ability and giving us, Lord, in a lot of situations, wisdom to see that we need You. Lord, tonight, we ask that You would bless us as we leave from here tonight. Be with us as we come back on Wednesday evening. We ask You these things, Lord, in Your name. Amen.